Around 12 years ago, I swore I would never, ever make another New Year's resolution. It just seemed like I was setting myself up for failure. It didn't help, of course, that I set vague, nonspecific goals. Maybe you're guilty of this too. You know, resolutions like lose weight or eat better that have no specificity to them at all. But it's not just me. Thousands of people abandon their resolutions every year, often by January 10th, which I learned is called Quitter's Day. Thousands more have abandoned any attempt to change themselves for the better. Change can be hard, especially when we've acted a certain way throughout our lives. You know? Of course, there's nothing wrong with resolving to be a better human being. But I don't want to talk about our resolutions for self-improvement. I would rather talk today about the resolution that God makes toward us. Today we find Jesus talking about unfathomable tragedy. In the first incident, Pilate murdered a group of Galileans. We don't have any outside record of this incident, but it certainly does fit with his character. In the second, the Tower of Siloam fell and killed 18 people. In the ancient world as now, there was an easy explanation for evil right there. They must have deserved it. They must have been terrible people. Psalm 1 lifts up this worldview. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Much of Proverbs echoes it, like this verse: no harm happens to the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Now, we shouldn't discount these scriptures entirely. After all, let's be honest with ourselves. A lot of the evil we suffer is self-inflicted. We make bad choices. Not all of it, to be fair, not all of it, but a lot of it is. But in these cases, that explanation doesn't work. After all, Jesus asks, do you think those people were worse than anyone else? Unless you repent, Jesus says, you will perish just as they did. There's no satisfactory explanation for why these things happened, especially since it seems so senseless. And Jesus, frustratingly, doesn't give us an explanation. Rather, he would have us focus on repentance, to take account of our lives, to see where we've fallen short of God's intention for our lives, and with God's help, to live differently. Now, this might just seem like another resolution we make at first glance, something we better do or else. But then Jesus goes on to tell a parable about a landowner and a field hand. Landowner is fed up. While his vineyard presumably produces well, the fig tree is not giving anything. They look nice. Anyone have an orchard here? Starting trees can be a pain from what I hear. Fig trees look nice. They can grow to a decent size. They can get up to about 30 feet tall. And their large leaves are uniquely beautiful. But without fruit, it's useless to the landowner. He orders his field hand to cut it down to make way for something that will produce. But the field hand does something surprising. He defers obedience to the landowner's order. He asks him to let him work on the tree for one more year. Maybe if he digs around it, the tree will be able to retain much needed humidity. If he puts manure on it, which was a very unusual procedure in the ancient world for trees, perhaps it will have the nutrients it needs to bear fruit. To the field hand, the tree is more than just a tree. It's like a beloved, sick child. And that's how Jesus sees us. how Jesus sees humanity. We are sin sick. We hold on to things that make us spiritually sick. We hold on to these things that keep us from bearing fruits worthy of repentance, as John says in Luke chapter 3. These things include hatred and contempt. They include grudges and unforgiveness. They include greed, consumerism. They include addictions. Holding on to this stuff prevents us from growing into the people God intends us to be. And the person that God intends us to be lives by these values that Paul talks about in his letter to the Galatians. Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jesus loves us so much that he comes down to our level to save us. He goes down to the dirt. That's the resolution he makes on our behalf. He digs in our soil so that we can be more productive. He tends to us, giving all of himself so we can grow into his stature. He feeds us, he waters us, he gives us his very self in Holy Communion. Sometimes he may even throw a load of manure on us. Perhaps some of the testing and trials we all face so that we can have further opportunities to grow. I'll be the first to admit that sometimes a load of manure is just a load of manure. It happens sometimes for no rhyme or reason that we can understand. And sometimes we can't handle it on our own. We need others to help us, which is why we should read that passage we heard from 1 Corinthians as something like, God is faithful and will not let y'all be tested beyond y'all's strength. That's the Southern Revised Standard Version. But it should be a plural you. It shouldn't be an individual thing. But in time, perhaps we can see some of that testing in a new positive light. Jesus works on us to give us another chance, another year, to bear fruit worthy of the kingdom of God. Of course, we can continue to go our own way, but Jesus doesn't give up on us. Jesus does not give up on a recalcitrant humanity, and Jesus doesn't give up on you or on me. Jesus gives all of himself, even to the point of death, to win us back to himself. He is the fullness of God's faithfulness, a faithfulness shown to God's people throughout history. We heard of some of this faithfulness in our readings today. Isaiah sings of God's faithful love to King David. Paul writes of that faithful love for the Israelites in the desert. And here, in this passage, we hear of God's faithfulness to us. And I have experienced that faithfulness firsthand, as many of you have. A while back, someone asked me how I could still have faith when all this bad stuff happened to me in the past year, happened to us in the past year. Abby's hospitalization, my own health struggles, and Sarah's dad's death. The reason is I don't see any of those things as punishments. I don't see the universe as moral. Sometimes manure is just manure, but hopefully it can help me grow in faith and in love. I don't believe in karma other than the don't be a jackass to other people kind of karma. No. These were awful events, but they became bizarre opportunities for living the faith. Opportunities I would never have chosen and still would never ever choose. Jesus has made a resolution to us to make us the people God intended us to be from our baptism on. And Jesus keeps his promises. Let's resolve to live into them in full trust that his word accomplishes what he says it will. Amen.